Hello and welcome to the Saxo market call on Tuesday, the 13th of September, 2022. And we have equity markets in a happy mood. We were up for the fourth straight session yesterday, up another 1.5% in the S&P 500 futures, as you can see on slide two. We closed at 4,130, and we are actually extending the gains this morning. And I've highlighted in the pink area there. Which I think is a likely area we could touch if we get a better than expected August CPI report later today at 12:30 GMT. That is really the big one. But before we talk about the inflation and interest rates, etc., let's just quickly glance over the theme basket overview, which we also have on slide two. And as you can see, the themes that are, seeing momentum right now are the same themes that had momentum yesterday and the day before that. So bubble stocks, e-commerce are really getting a strong comeback week here. But if we go to slide three, the key event, of course, is this August CPI. I already talked about it mid last week when you could begin to see a change in the equity dynamics. I think I mentioned it on Thursday's podcast that I think the market, it looked like the market more broad-based across different types of asset classes, from Bitcoin, equities, long-term interest rates, etc., the dollar moves as well. It seemed like the market was positioning itself for an upside surprise relative to expectations on inflation. So what I mean an upside su surprise, I mean on the good side. So we'll have a lower CPI print than expected, and that would be positive for risk sentiment. If you look at slide three, I've put in the Fed funds. The 30-day maturity Fed funds futures curve in here, and I have the live curve, which is the orange, and then we have the pink curve, which is from a week ago, and you can see that just despite we have rallied in equities over the past week, we are still seeing Fed funds futures markets pricing and monetary policies being tightened even further. And I think Walker's latest comments yesterday that he's leaning towards a 25 basis point rate hike again here in September, I think was the what took the markets or gave the market the clue that okay, maybe we will go to 4% in the Fed funds rate. And that's what the market is pricing. The market is pricing that by April we'll have peaked out in the short term policy rate at 4%, and then we'll get the pivot. And we've talked about it before. We won't hit a bottom in equities before we get the pivot from the Fed. So and it's still a very long winter ahead, and so we have to be patient. And the US core CPI, I've put that in as well on slide three. You can see it there. So the expectation is for the core to rise 0.3%, the headline down 0.1% because gasoline and other distillates have come down in the US, and that's putting off some pressure from the energy side of things in the US. But the core is still elevated, and most FOMC voters have been out saying that we cannot draw any meaningful conclusions on inflation until Q2 of next year. But Ole, talking about interest rates, in the absence of John today on the podcast, you have got the honor of talking about currencies, and you put in this euro dollar chart here on slide four because the euro has been rallying. I don't know how much of it is the news out of Ukraine, on how much is actually speculative positions, as you maybe are indicating here, or what it is. But give us your thoughts.
Well, I think, Peter, what it basically says most of all is that above everything that we are talking about right now, stock markets in good mood, commodities having a bit of a bounce, is the fact that the dollar has been weakening now since hitting a multi-year high in some indices, a record high last week. So the dollar weakness that's coming through right now is really the engine behind the recovery that we're seeing. And obviously, that basically means the CPI today will be crucially important as a guide to whether that sentiment can be maintained. And yes, you mentioned Ukraine, and the it has obviously raised the hopes, probably not the expectation, but hopes that we potentially could get closer to some kind of a conclusion that would obviously give Europe a major boost. But also the fact that as you mentioned, the CPI data today is expected to show a decline, and we obviously know the inflation trajectory in Europe and US are in two different places right now. We are still battling very, very high inflation in Europe that potentially has not peaked yet. And that basically means if we do see that small drop off in inflation in the US, it could potentially send the dollar lower and the euro dollar higher. And also just remember the dollar yen, that extreme link to yield differentials that we have right now. So yield and the dollar this afternoon will be extremely important for the risk sentiment. And as I highlight here, there was a short position. There has been a short position in the euro dollar, a futures market for a while from speculators. It is obviously only just a fraction of the market, but it still gives an idea about how people are positioned out there. And we did actually see a decent reduction last week as we were heading to these 20-year low in euro dollar. So even though we're hitting new lows, we're actually seeing short positions starting to be cut, and that could potentially be the first sign that the market was starting to run out of momentum, running out of fresh selling appetite. So all in all, we're still just holding here. We need to really break above that 103.50 level, as I highlight on the chart, and I'm sure John will agree with that before we can start to talk about any major recovery in the market. But I might as well just take it on to the next one, Peter, because obviously the dollar is also the main reason why we're seeing this recovery in the metal space. Again, you can put the dollar chart on top of the gold chart, and they will be identical for the if you look at the price action during the past couple of weeks. A little bit more action in silver, but we also have to remember it was a metal. It really took a beating back in August, and as I've highlighted on a regular basis, silver has three drivers. It's got gold, it's got the dollar, and it's got industrial metals. And right now, all three of them has been lending support, and that basically means that's the reason why we see silver up like 5% yesterday. In addition to that, just in the small inserts I put in there on slide five, the net short position and the gross short in silver reached a 3-week high, a 3-year high last week. So the market's basically caught short here. So that's so quite a bit of the aggressive buying we've seen so far has been short covering. For that to turn into proper longs, new longs coming into the market, we potentially need to take out that August top around that 2080 level. But at least for now, it's been lifted primarily by short covering. But again, the further direction of here really hinges on the CPI today and the impact it has on the dollar.
All right, Ole. A lot of things going on, and another place where things are still very, very volatile and very exciting, to say the least, is of course the energy situation in Europe. I really love your charts, and I know they get a lot of retweets and likes on Twitter as well. This overview you have on slide six, and we're all looking at the storage levels in Europe. They are looking quite well against the average, but there's one thing is storage, another thing is flow, and another is the whole prices and can we cap prices? And I think also we had the Norwegian was it Norwegian's energy minister, economic minister? You can correct me, Ole, but start saying that the capping the price on gas. They basically said between like we can do it if you really want to, but it won't really change the problems of Europe. And I'll let you talk about the energy situation in Europe and whether is there any improvement.
Well, there is an improvement to this in the sense that there is a price improvement, but the actual improvement on the ground still needs to be carried through, and that's obviously where we're looking at the EU towards the EU Commission, European Commission. They released some suggestions on Friday in terms of how we can reduce our dependency on or reduce our consumption of gas and also consumption of power, electricity, and these suggestions are obviously being going through motions now, so we haven't got any solid out yet. But as you can see on the price action this past week, the market is clearly looking for guidance and some support, and that support could be just implementing measures to bring down our consumption of power. It could be peak power demand, the gas demand, the utilities are being supported more than they have been so far. The changing of the power, pricing structure for power. And so on. But the essence of the problem obviously lies on the bottom right hand chart, there where you can see the bottom the dark blue line. That is gas flows from Russia, and you can see how it's just dropped to a trickle. And we just have to reiterate once again, a price cap on gas last week was led to Putin to say that, well, then we would supply no gas whatsoever. The problem still remains. Oil can be find a buyer around the world via a ship. Gas coming into Europe cannot go anywhere. They have a small LNG export facility in St. Petersburg area, but otherwise, all the gas that they otherwise normally would send to Europe, it's basically stuck now. They either have to cut production or they have to just flare it into the atmosphere, thereby raising further issues about global warming and the conditions of many nations. So with that in mind, I think it would be an absolute last resort if they were cut the gas further. So the market is basically reacting to the sense it can't really get much worse than it is right now. Obviously, what it can get really much worse about is if we get a very, very cold winter, that would give us problems almost no matter what we try to do at this point. And this is going to get a little bit long, but I just want to mention as well, I can't remember if I mentioned yesterday, but we've seen a one-third drop in the price of carbon emission for contracts in Europe, and that has to do with the EU also, as part of the intervention plan, has decided to contemplate releasing permits from reserves, basically make it cheaper for utilities to burn gas and coal through this winter period. And obviously, the less you have to pay for your carbon emissions, the lower the price you can charge for the power that you produce.
All right. A little bit of a suggestion, Ole. So if you could extend the daily gas flows to Europe from key supplies, if you could extend that chart to so we can get the whole winter of 21, it would be very nice, because I was trying to do the math on what sort of was the average flows, but the February was a little bit colder, and the the cold
That's a
was
good.
it's getting worse as we progress through the year, and that's why you see this spike. I'm just curious to see what the gas flows that were needed in December, November. But we'll take that another day as you update your
Yeah,
chart,
that's a good point.
and ending it off on commodities and the what's going on in the world. It has been what a crazy year.
And
We have had
not on
crazy
a
year.
happy note.
Yeah, maybe on a happy note, but we have this phenomenon, El Niño, La Niña, and you have some thoughts on that on slide 7. So please take that away again.
Yeah, it's basically not ending the commodity space on the section on a happy note, because basically within the last few days we've had reports especially from the World Meteorological Organization, which is under the UN, and also from the Australian Meteorological Office, which is very respected with regards to predicting weather changes. And they are all basically saying that we are facing a triple dip La Niña. We've now had La Niña weather conditions for the past 3 years, and that is a main part of all the problems that we've had across the world. Flooding in Australia, flooding in Pakistan, drought in South America, same drought conditions in North America as well. And now it looks like this La Niña is basically going to be extended for into this northern hemisphere winter, the southern hemisphere summer. And it's all to do about water temperatures along the eastern equatorial Pacific dateline. And as you can see, the bl black line, basically temperatures are below where they should be. The green line was last year, and it looks like it's even worse this year. And this is basically what creates the. You can look it up in Google. It's a bit complicated, but all we need to know is that lower than expected to temperatures in this area, it basically brings the La Niña, which brings the kind of problems that we've had in recent years. So unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're seeing any easing of that just yet. And with that in mind, we still have to be worried about food commodity prices going forward.
All right. What a happy note there, Ole. And
Yeah, sorry.
talking about food prices and trouble in stocks. To watch today on slide 8, Ocado, the UK's largest online retailer, they are out missing badly on revenue for the previous quarter. The cost of living crisis is really hurting grocery retailers in the UK. So the average basket value is down 6%. And you have rising energy costs as well, pressuring Ocado on its operating margin. Very, very dire strait that company is in. And as you look at the share price, the 5-year share price we have as well on the right-hand side of slide 8, I mean, you can just see it. I mean, it almost feels like, to some extent, the fairy tale by H.C. Andersen about the emperor that didn't have any clothes on, because Now think about how much the pricing of this company have gyrated just on the upside during the pandemic when we thought everything was going into the stratosphere. And now you have this Ocado company trading 20, 25% below the levels prior to the pandemic. Crazy, crazy story there. Peloton, another pandemic darling, is seeing two of its founders, Hisayo Gushi and John Foley, are both leaving the company. It's a big shakeup of the leadership of that company. It's I'm just going to highlight that because it's of course going to impact the price today. So watch that if you trade Peloton or you're invested in Peloton. It's I don't know what is really the outlook for this company, but it's surely it's not a good thing with all this turmoil in the in its leadership. And then on a good note, Nintendo in the gaming industry, their Splatoon 3 became the best gaming launch on the Switch console ever in the company's history. The share price were up 5%. They sold 3.5 million units in the first week of selling this game. Very positive story and really extending the gains and success for Nintendo. I was just looking at it, so excluding dividends or buybacks or anything, you know, the raw share price return over the past 10 years has been 750%, so 20% annualized gains for Nintendo. I'm pretty sure if you went 10 years back in time and you would and you walked around saying, oh, you know what, Nintendo is going to be one of the most successful gaming companies over the next 10 years, I think most people would have laughed at you and said you were insane. What an incredible positive story for Nintendo right there. And then Oracle delivering both earnings and revenue in line with estimates for the previous quarter. The guidance is as well as in line, and their acquisition and integration of Cerner, which is a software company in the healthcare sector, is providing Oracle with a lot of muscle in the in its cloud offering. So a very profitable part of the business. So that's positive for Oracle. And if we go to the earnings to watch, there's no earnings today. So we'll talk a little bit about Inditex, which is the parent company of Zara, the famous Zara brand. A Spanish retailer, they that this retailer is expected to deliver 12% revenue growth tomorrow for the quarter that ended in July, but the cost of living crisis has really accelerated, and already for the current quarter, which ends in October, revenue is expected to decline to 3% year over year. And if you think about where inflation is, it really means that there are now volume pressure on Inditex, and you know, the share price looks very, very much depressed. So, but this is the story that will remain with us here in Europe for the next year, or at least the next 6 to 8 months before we hit a bottom. Consumption is really much under pressure because of these rising energy prices. And if we go to the macro calendar on slide 10, the two biggest prints today to think about, of course, is the U.S. August CPI, hourly earnings as well, super important, nominal wage growth. Very, very key for inflation dynamics ahead. Here in Europe at 09 GMT, we have the ZEW survey. Typically, could impact intraday sentiment. So watch that if you're a trader. And then we have the APIs, weekly oil and fuel stock report, and OPEC's oil market report. I don't know whether you have any comments or you want to push on this.
Well, basically, if we continue to see a discrepancy between what the oil making these oil major forecasters we had EIA recently and OPEC today, IEA tomorrow, so far they have not really shown that kind of that drop in demand that the market is pricing in right now with the global economic slowdown. So interesting to see their supply and demand figures when they when the report is released sometime during the day.
All right, and maybe we should flag as well. So on Thursday and Friday we have the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and we got a confirmation yesterday that Xi Jinping is will make his first tour outside China since the pandemic started. And so Putin and Xi will have a meeting at this summit. It's rumored as well that the India's
Modi.
Modi will join the summit as well. This is the first Central Asia slash Asian strategic meeting since 2019, where people will, where all the leaders will meet in person. And it takes place over these 2 days in Uzbekistan, and I think it's a pretty important thing to have on the radar for potential downside risk to markets. Let's see what happens, because obviously Putin is under pressure. We had 18 district members out of St. Petersburg and Moscow that have said that Putin should leave office because what he's doing to Russia is bad for the country's future, etc. So there's growing pressure on Putin, and with the losses recently in Ukraine, you have to wonder what is the position of China. Will they pressure Russia to sort of drum up a closure of this war and try to get back to business in whatever way is possible, or will they lean in support? And where do we have India? And if these three countries are striking an alliance in terms of realpolitik, what does that mean to Europe and the US? Can't underscore the importance of what's shaping up in the world in these years. So it's very critical. And I think with that note, we can think down. We can sit down and reflect of what's happening in the world, and let it leave there. And Ole and I will be back tomorrow, and we should also have John back on the podcast. So that's going to be absolutely fantastic. And in the meantime, stay safe out there, and we'll be back same time and place tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call, or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.